Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 15 to begin with. We're going to be in 18, but I want to just start with one verse tonight, really, before we get to the message. That song in that last verse, it said, leaving your griefs and fears and different things behind and the sorrows putting aside. As I think about Saul, and we're dealing with the mind of Saul, and tonight we're going to be looking at the spirit of envy. But as I think about this, there's a verse in 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 11. It said, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. If you think about that, how many of you sometime or another, you have invested much in someone, and that person greatly disappointed you? It might be family, it might be someone you were trying to help disciple, it may be somebody you invested in a lot of time in as a youth worker or a teenager or something, and you look at different things, and every single one of us can probably say, yeah, I put some effort. We had some people on the mission field we put quite a bit of effort into. And watch them cease to follow God. Breaks your heart. But it doesn't change who God is, and it doesn't change who we follow. Samuel still followed God. And so we have to, I say that, I know that there are struggles that different people take at different times as you deal with that very situation, and it just, there's people that grieve you. And it doesn't change who God is. And we can't look at the past. We have to look forward. And we serve God. And we stay with God. And let's make sure that we do that no matter what happens. 1 Samuel 18, we're going to go verse 5 through 9. And dealing with the mind of Saul, the eighth lesson on the mind of Saul, the spirit of envy. In verse 5 through 9 of chapter 18 says this, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself, what? Wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. The spirit of envy is rising up. Now remember, this is a long trail. We've got Saul starting out good, little in his own sight, seeking and serving God, to Saul getting into the point of disobeying God and a troubled spirit coming about from that, and then the spirit of fear coming about from that. And now this spirit of envy, jealousy, this thing popping up within him because someone else is getting credit for something. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll look to the scriptures tonight. Father, I again ask for your help. I ask, Father, that you would speak to this body of believers tonight. Father, our minds are very important. And God, it is absolutely essential that we have our minds settled on you. And God, that we get our minds in the Word of God. We are in a mentally sick world right now. And what we see across our country and the amount of discussion about mental instability and the amount of drugs that are prescribed for these things. And Father, what we really need is we need you. And God, I pray that you would help us and encourage us tonight and help us not to fall into this spirit of envy ever. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of the spirit of fear that was in Saul is now really, I would say, born the spirit of envy. Where Saul failed, David has succeeded. Remember, it was the spirit of fear that caused Saul to be trembling in the face of Goliath. And David comes out there without the spirit of fear, and God gave David a victory that could have and should have been Saul's. Saul could have had that victory. Saul could have stood out there before Goliath, and he could have gone out there with God helping him, and he could have won that victory. He did not do so out of fear. And so now someone has stepped up that didn't have the fear, and now that person has continued to go out and battle the Philistines and get victories, whereas who should be leading that? Saul should be leading that. But Saul sends David out to lead that. And David comes back and the victories are there. And as was custom, you will see it after the crossing of the Red Sea. You will see it at other victories that the nation of Israel had. The men come back from war and the women are singing and dancing and praising God for the victories that are given. And in the process of this, they make the statement and they're singing about Saul has slain his thousands. Now that's not a bad thing. But David has slain his 10,000s. You know, everyone's not the same. Everyone does not have the same accomplishments. Everyone does not have the same accomplishments in their Christian life, in their successes in the Christian life. Everyone does not have the same accomplishments financially. Everyone does not have the same accomplishments in all kinds of manners. And so Saul should have and could have very easily taken, hey, you know what? They're singing about me. I've slain thousands. He did not have to get into the comparison factor with David. He did not have to get in and start looking at and say, well, you know, they're ascribing more to him. Whose fault is that? That's Saul's. So let's look at a couple verses. James 4, hold your place here, we'll be back. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, a New Testament passage to help us in this matter. It says, from whence come wars and fightings, what? Among you. Now, this is written addressing believers that are scattered abroad, the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, but they're meeting in assemblies. They are churches that are scattered abroad. And he says, why are there wars and fightings among you? There is distress, there is disturbance within the bodies, within the groups, within the bodies of believers. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. Now this is, it's a level that's higher than what's going to take place in a church. Hopefully nobody's going to kill each other. But you know, sometimes people hate each other. And what does Jesus say about that? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God, and whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God? Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now, look, we need to understand that there is within every one of us the ability to become envious. The core of that is driven from our lust. Somebody's envious because he got the girl that I wanted. It happens. She got the guy that I wanted. It happens. He got the job that I wanted, or they got the position that I wanted, or they got more respect than I got. And what it is, it's our own lust driving underneath a spirit of envy, and that spirit of envy drives up and builds up until people are literally, I just want to see them taken down because I can't stand them because they're more successful than me, or I perceive them to be. You know, a lot of times people that are envious of other people, if you ask somebody that was completely on the outside of the situation, they say, oh no, he's got great qualities and he's got great qualities too. And everybody else isn't doing it. But what we perceive in us and the spirit of envy that's in us causes damage. It causes people not to get along. It causes ultimately wars between countries. It can cause wars between leaders. It can cause problems within a church. But it's a real thing and it's really there. In Galatians chapter 5, we see the list of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5 says in verse 19, 20, and 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now look, this is preceded. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the what? So if anyone is participating in anything in this list, what can you safely say? That person is not walking in the Spirit, at least at that time. So adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and then comes the word that we're looking at tonight, envyings. What's interesting, right after envyings is murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look, the flesh is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. In order for us to go to be in the kingdom of God, even at the rapture, something has to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15 says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay, this mortal must put on immortality. So we have to get out of this flesh to inherit the kingdom of God. We're walking in it, but we inherit it. So let's look at some points today. Envy causes a person to watch those around them, hoping to find something wrong. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Got my eye on you. I'm watching to see if you're going to do something wrong. You know what happened? You know what Saul is doing? Saul is looking for David. He would love for David to mess up and him be able to put David in jail. He would love for David to mess up and him to be able to put David to death. He's got his eye following him everywhere he goes. He's watching. He's looking for mistakes. This is the cause. This is the spirit of envy that rises in a person that is just looking. I just want to see them mess up, because if they mess up, it will somehow vindicate me. It will somehow make me look better. If David would just mess up, do you realize how many times, and we'll see some of them, but how many times it says David behaved himself wisely. We read it in this passage, but it's over again several times throughout the passage of Scripture. David has to know that Saul's got his eye on him. And David behaves himself wisely. And when David goes out to fight the Philistines, David's got to be walking to some level on eggshells. He's got to say the right thing. He's got to back up Saul. He's got to go out. He's got to properly lead that military that he has been put over, because Saul is watching for him to mess up. And when somebody becomes envious of another person, they begin to watch, they begin to look, they begin to see, what will this person do? I just want to catch them in something that would allow me to say, yeah, see there? They're not all that. And that's what he's doing. Secondly, envy causes a person to stoop to murder. 1 Samuel 18, let's read 10 through 12. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And these are strange things. I don't even pretend to understand it all, what kind of prophecy this is. Whatever's on him is speaking through him. It's strange. But, and David played with his hand as at other times. So David's called in. Man, this evil spirit's back on Saul. Saul's troubled. Would you come in and play the harp again? David is willing to serve. David just, you know, hey, you want me to go out in the military? I'll be out in the military. You want me to play a song for you? I'll play a song for you. David's just a humble servant, really. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. This happened not once. This happened twice here in this instance. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. So envy causes a person to stoop to murder. Not only is he watching him, but he's like, there's nothing wrong. David's going in, David's coming out. I can't find anything wrong with him. All right, I don't know who was in the room. I don't know if Saul was just sitting there and David's over here playing. But Saul's goal at that moment, when this spirit actually took control, he gets up with a javelin. And his goal was to pin David to the wall with it. Where does that come from? The spirit of envy has come to a full peak. You'll see it with Cain and Abel. Cain definitely had the spirit of envy, blaming Abel. Look, they could have both brought the right offering. But ultimately, when he saw that Cain or Abel was accepted and he was rejected, and Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was rejected, he kills him. The pinnacle of envy is murder. You better be careful about that spirit of envy. It doesn't belong in a Christian. It was interesting to me that it was in that list of the flesh right before murder. And obviously God put it there. I don't know if that was his thought when he put it there or not, but it's there in that order. It's interesting. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 4 says this, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? You know, you take a person that loses their temper, and they can be cruel. They can be mean. They might throw something. But they're not necessarily going down the murderous route. But when the Bible says, who can stand before envy? Envy, it rises to another level. Thirdly, envy causes a person to deceitfully plot destruction. So he didn't kill him. He escapes. And so he's like, well, I'm going to figure this out. We read from verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Now, in all of this, Saul's just hoping he's going to die. Go out, send him to battle. Send him to battle again. Surely one of these times he's going to die. And verse 14, and David what? Behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Saul's got his eye on him. And the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, obviously, why did he see it? He's got his eye on him. He was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife, only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. You know, Saul still has this sense of being able to use biblical wording or right wording. The Lord's departed from him. Oh, it's the Lord's battles. Look, you think Saul's sending him out there to fight the Lord's battles? Saul doesn't have a clue. Saul's not getting instruction and direction from the Lord at this point at all. It's just about him. For Saul said, "Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." He says, "You can be my son-in-law. I just want you to go out and battle. You go out and fight. You can earn this." And David said to Saul, "Who am I? And what is my life or my family, father's family in Israel that I should be a son-in-law to the king?" But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Mahalathite, to wife. Now, that could very easily have, you think that'd be frustrating for David? Okay, wedding day. The time has come. Oh, she's not going to marry you. I'm going to give her to this person. Do you realize what Saul is doing? I'm going to jab him in the back. I'm going to poke him in the ribs. I'm going to get David to do something wrong. I am going to pull his wife-to-be out from under him. I don't know whether they had had some form of courtship or whether this thing was just totally arranged and hadn't grown close at all or what was going on, but all of a sudden, he's not there. He can't marry her. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, "I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Wherefore Saul said to David, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the twain." Well, you were going to marry her, but I'll tell you what, you can marry her instead. It looks almost like it's the same day. I mean, and Saul commanded his servants, saying, "Commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law." Look, Saul is plotting this thing. You tell David how much I love him. Tell him how much I care for him. Look, Saul is sleazy. Saul is lying. He is so deceitful. Oh, you know, you butter him up. Tell him how much I want him to be my son-in-law, and my daughter is going to have him. And verse 23, Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, "Seemeth it a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" Look at David's assessment of himself. Lightly esteemed. He said, "I'm nobody. I'm just following orders." At least you could say he was a captain of 1,000. I don't know what that would be called in the military. You got a centurion would be over 100. I don't know. You got a millenarian? I'm kidding, okay? I'm just making up words. But he's captain over 1,000. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, "On this manner spake David." And Saul said, "Thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." The whole plot is, yeah, you can be my son-in-law. Instead of money, just go out and kill 100 Philistines. David says, "Sounds good to me. Kind of like her. I'll kill 100 enemies to get her." But Saul's whole thing is this entire thing. He's plotting. He's speaking sweet words out of his mouth. But underneath, there's this bitter, evil heart. Be aware and be cautious of flattery. Because usually there's something underneath it. Beware when people that are not walking with God start using religious language. Because there's probably something underlying it. And here it's the spirit of envy. And Saul is plotting. This is not the only case that this takes place. Acts 7:9 says this, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." What was the deal? They plotted against him out of envy. Envy was the driving factor of selling their brother to be a slave. Now, what'd they really plot to do with him first? Kill him. One brother had a conscience. Kind of said, let's delay this, and then they sold him. Mark 15:10. "For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy." Why'd they want to kill Jesus? Envy. Here's this guy that's just going around helping people, but they're the religious leaders and they want all the clout, and let's kill him. And the plot is there. So evil causes a person to deceitfully plot destruction. Envy does. And then lastly, envy causes hate when one is showed love or favor by another. So you're staying back and watching, somebody comes along and they show favor to another person, and why didn't they show favor to me? Or they show love to another person, why didn't they show love to me? And we'll see this, 1 Samuel 18, verse 26. "And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law." He says, oh, is that all? Just 100 Philistines? Can I count Goliath as one? He's like, I'm going to go out and do this. And the days, be son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose, went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And the David brought their foreskins, and they gave them the full tally to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. He says, you want 100? I'll double it. And he went and did that. He's like, here we go. I'm ready to get married. I think he kind of liked her. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass that after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than at all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Now David has a position. He's the king's son-in-law. And David says, you know what? It's becoming of me to act the king's son-in-law. And David says, if I was wise before and I behaved myself right before, now I've upped it. But what's happening with Saul here? He sees that Michal, his daughter, loves David. And it causes envy. Now granted, for all you men who have given a daughter away, and you watch your daughter, who you loved, and who loves you, all of a sudden start to love another man. There's a moment there of getting used to that. I'm not saying that it's just an automatic, oh, this is great. It takes a little bit of getting used to. But you know what? What better thing than your daughter love her husband? That's fantastic. And anybody that would want it any other way, stupid is the word that comes to mind. I don't know. That's what you want. You want them to transfer, not that they cease loving you, but they love them more and differently. And rightly, and it's a good thing. But when you're envious and you see that even my daughter loves him, well, Duh. I don't know. This, you know, you're looking at this situation and it's like, what do you think? She's going to be his wife. Wouldn't you hope that she would love him? But Saul, chapter 19, verse 1, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Why? God is blessing David and he's departed from Saul. The people are starting to respond to and respect David. And that's waning with Saul, but that's Saul's fault. Saul's daughter loves David. Well, that's normal. She's marrying him. Look, this is the man that went out and got double the dowry that was requested for her. Do you think that maybe that might win her heart just a little bit? He likes me. He went out and got double. That's got to make her feel good. Reminds me of a story that I'll tell another time. But Genesis 30 verse 1 says this, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Like Jacob could do that. But it's just this envy. Envy is not a good thing. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. That word sound again is whole, healthy, unbroken. But envy the rottenness of the bones. Ultimately what happens is envy is going to destroy not the person you've got your eye on. Envy is going to destroy you. It's going to rot you from the inside out. And I don't know, you know, whether it actually has an effect on the bones or not. But I know this. I know that envy is going to destroy, cause damage to a person. And it may very well be that envy does have negative health effects. Because a lot of sins have health effects. Some of them are recognizable and others we don't connect. But I would tend to connect this to some negative health effects from what the Word of God says here. Envy, the rottenness of the bones. Envy is going to destroy you. Envy is going to destroy Saul. And we're going to watch this. The spirit, the troubled spirit, the spirit of fear, the spirit of envy. At any time, can Saul repent? Yes. There is nothing but flesh operating right now in Saul. It's building. The spirit is going worse. It's changing. And it's eating him alive. He's spending his days. He's the king. And all he can think about is, all he can think about, he's spending his days plotting, conniving, deceiving. He's spending his days working up flattery situations in order, but every move he's making is David's got to die. Kill David. Can you fathom how consumed he is? This is not a good place to be. When we find ourselves consumed with someone else, I'm not talking about in a good way. But if we find ourselves in a negative way consumed with someone else, we'd better be careful. Because it can take us down a road that we don't want to be down. And it can lead us in a direction. And look, if we're consumed with someone else in a negative way, are we walking in the Spirit? Can we be consumed with God and be consumed with envy at the same time? They don't fit together. So may God help us to learn from what is written here about the mind of Saul. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we look to the invitation now, God, I don't know of any person in this room who is dealing with envy. But we see that it's a very real thing in the mind of Saul. And it may be a real thing in the mind of someone here. Or it may be something that is going to pop up down the road. And God, this is the message, the warning about it. God, help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to recognize that any form of envy is a work of the flesh. God, we ask that you would help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you've got something to come and pray about, I know the tendency at an invitation like this is this. Well, I don't want to come down there and somebody will think I'm envious. Nobody's thinking anything. Just if you need to talk to the Lord, come and talk to Him. Talk to Him for any reason you want. Remember, this is a work of the flesh. It can pop up in any of us. It's there. The interesting thing about Saul is this. David is not thinking about, he's not plotting against Saul in any way, shape, or form. He's just humbly serving. David doesn't want the kingdom until God's ready to give it to him. And when David has the opportunity to take it, he does not take it. Saul literally has come to hate his best soldier, his best servant, his best son-in-law. All right, I trust you've had a blessed day. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. The Word of God's good, isn't it? And it has the answers. It has the answer for everything. Sometimes you don't know, the message is there. Do you need it today? I don't know. But it's good, isn't it? We feed on the Word, and it's good for us. It really is good for us. May it help us continually, all right? Father, we thank you for your Word. God, we thank you at what we see here. And God, I guess we could say it grieves us what we see in the life of Saul when you wanted so much more for him. But God, help every one of us to understand if we submit to the flesh, it grieves you. It grieves your Holy Spirit. And God, we all need your help living for you this week. God, help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.